Well, good morning. I am not Pastor Kimbrough, as most of you know, so if you came here to see Pastor Kimbrough, you'll probably be disappointed. So please come back another time, and you can see Barry. We're so thankful for him and his family here, but he has to be in Gold Beach today, so we have to have somebody else give the sermon, and that's me today. And thank you for coming. You know, it's a special holiday season coming up. It's starting, I think it starts about this time of year. You know, you have Thanksgiving, then you have Christmas, and New Year's. And this is going to be the first holiday season in many, many years for this church, in my recent memory, that we haven't had a Jim Ball and Pat Ball family music program. And so I think we need to thank Pat Ball and in the memory of her husband Jim, and thank them by saying amen for a wonderful amen service that you have provided for this church for the past 25 years. And there is a special potluck, I guess, downstairs, a Thanksgiving potluck to which we're all invited, and we'll see if there's anything special for Pat Ball down there. I hope so. Well, this is probably going to be her last Sabbath, at least for a while, here at the Brookings Church. My understanding is you're moving on, at least temporarily. And we want to make sure that we leave with a good Thanksgiving send-off for you and with prayers that the God in heaven will preserve you and hope to see you back sometime. So thank you, Pat Ball, for all the years of ministry. It's been, what, 25 years? Close to 30 years. We thank you for that. We're never forgetting to get.
Just a year ago that Jim was here at our last program.
Okay. Thank you. So it's the sort of the end of an era, I guess you might say. We're going to miss you. All right, so it is the holiday season. We all know that. That's why some of you are here, probably because you've come to visit family and friends, and some are absent because they've gone on the way to visit their family and friends. But the holiday season's upon us, and I love Thanksgiving. It's probably my favorite holiday, my favorite time of year. I love to see the weather turn. It's cool. It's crisp. You know, the colors have changed. We're expecting rain, hopefully, to refresh the earth. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time of year. And we get to celebrate probably the most wonderful, or one of the most wonderful holidays. You might count Christmas, some of you, but the holiday of Thanksgiving, it gives us time to ponder what we're truly thankful for. We get to pause from our daily business and think about what God has given us. So let's not just indulge deeply into the pumpkin pie and the cranberry jelly, but let's think about deeply what the Lord has given us on this holiday. So I want to look at the holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, sort of unwrap it, unpack it, take it apart, put it back together and see if we can devise any deeper meaning from holiday, the holiday of Thanksgiving. And I know I'm probably speaking to the choir because I think you all know what this holiday is all about. It's obviously about Thanksgiving. But it may have lost some of its meaning over the years. So I'd like to think about it. Maybe we can revitalize it beyond the normal American observation. So I want to look at four things. I want to look at some facts about Thanksgiving and the beginnings of Thanksgiving. I love facts. As a child, I used to read the encyclopedia. I loved any book that talked about how things work or history. So I'm hung up on facts. I hope you enjoy the facts. Then we're going to talk about the secularization of Thanksgiving, what's happened to Thanksgiving. And then let's talk about why be thankful. What are the benefits of being thankful? And who are we thankful to? Yes, we're thankful, but there's a lot more than just saying, thank you, I'm thankful. There's aspects of thankfulness. And then I'd like to review 10 things that we as a Brookings church and you visitors are thankful for. Now, I'm going to speak for the church. Your list may be different. You may add some things. You may subtract some things. But I think these are some things that I think we could all agree on that we should be thankful for. So let's go into the holiday facts. You know, harvest thanks celebrations have been going on since the beginning of time, since beginning of recorded history, and certainly in biblical times they happened. Now, some claim that Thanksgiving is a pagan holiday and has its roots in paganism, but it's clear that many religious societies celebrate a fall harvest festival. In fact, the Israelites were commanded to celebrate a fall harvest festival by God. In Deuteronomy 16:10, he says, "And then celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings that the Lord has given you." So relax, you can enjoy the holiday. You're doing what God has commanded you to do. Now, the first recorded American Thanksgiving, what we think of as a modern Thanksgiving, was celebrated in 1621. Now, that's 1 year after the Plymouth Rock, when they came to Plymouth Rock, and it included about 50 pilgrims, about 90 indigenous people, and only four of these people were probably women. So I don't know what happened, but anyway, there was an underrepresentation of the women at this holiday festival. Now, the pilgrims knew something about thankfulness. They had just gone through an extreme winter. They had a successful harvest, and they knew something about suffering, because at that time, at that first Thanksgiving, there were more graves in the colony than there were huts. They knew something about loss, and yet they set aside a day for Thanksgiving. Now, apparently, I don't know why, but turkey wasn't on the first menu. Historians believe that turkeys, for some reason, I thought they were all over the place and ubiquitous, but there were no turkeys on the Thanksgiving. And by the way, there was also no tofurkey, so if you like that, it wasn't on the menu either. So the menu consisted of venison, duck, goose, fish. Now I'm going to lose some of you now. Also, oysters, lobster, eels were likely served alongside pumpkins and cranberries, but there was no pumpkin pie. So that pumpkin pie tradition did not start at the first Thanksgiving. I guess they just ate it like squash. Somebody had to figure out how to put it in pumpkin pie later on. So George Washington, he recommended a fall celebration in 1783, but it didn't happen, not formally. Thomas Jefferson looked at the same issue and decided that he would not make it a holiday either because of concerns over the separation of church and state. You see, there's been this struggle between this religious holiday or secular holiday. The secularists did not want to have the holiday because it was religious. The religious people didn't want to establish a national holiday. They thought that it would secularize it. So there was a reluctance to make it a national holiday. But Abraham Lincoln eventually made the decision to proclaim Thanksgiving national holiday on October 3, 1863, at the behest of Sarah Joseph Hale. You all know Sarah Joseph Hale? You all do, but you don't know you do. She was Sarah Joseph Hale of Mary Had a Little Lamb fame. She had a 17-year letter-writing campaign to all the presidents, and finally Abraham Lincoln acquiesced and made it a holiday. Well, we now have turkey pardoning. The first turkey pardoning occurred under the President Kennedy's administration, and he was the first one to actually pardon a turkey and let him go. Now, our friends to the north, the Canadians, they also celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's in October. It's been a national holiday since 1879, a few years after the Americans had the holiday established, but they've been celebrating it with the Nanavuts up north, and the English sailor has been celebrating the holiday since 1578, before the Americans did. Yay, Canada. So they were first. Now, we all know that obviously we don't celebrate Thanksgiving the same way, and there is a great movement in our country to secularize everything. And secularization of holidays that might have religious significance are true today. And actually, they were true back then. The nationwide observance of Thanksgiving became increasingly secular almost from the get-go. 15 years after Abraham Lincoln declared that this was a national holiday, the New York Times complained that the day had, quotes, lost its somberness. With that, most of religious significance was gone, and the pilgrims would barely have recognized and probably disavowed the modern celebration. Now, you might say that applies today, but think about this 100 and some years ago, It was already in that state of affairs. And this continues today. People want to take any religious significance out of these holidays. We all know about Christmas, the Christmas wars and the culture wars around Christmas, but they're happening around Thanksgiving also, because now it's often referred to as Tea Day or Turkey Day. I'm sure you've all heard that. Not Thanksgiving. Well, and some go as far as to say that the whole Thanksgiving feast with the pilgrims in 1821 was a myth necessitated so that the fledgling nation could have a common history or story to rally around. So that's how far things have gone. So with that in mind, how do we celebrate Thanksgiving today? And I probably don't have to tell you this. You probably know how it's celebrated. But I want to go through it just to get an idea of what the average American thinks about or does during Thanksgiving. Well, for most of it, it's a day off. You know, we get Thursday off, maybe 2 days, maybe Friday, thus making it probably a four-day work week or four-day holiday. And of course, that's a good thing. That in alone is something for people to celebrate. We've got men cooking turkeys in peanut oil and setting porches on fire. 2,400 porches a year go up in flames around Thanksgiving. We have people getting together with family and friends, eating and drinking too much. The average person consumes 4,500 calories during the Thanksgiving meal, which is twice the number of calories that you require for 2 days. And then we nap, promising ourselves that we're going to begin our diets January 1. We also have established a football tradition of watching football. We have the Detroit Lions. We watch them lose in the morning, and then we watch the Dallas Cowboys play my favorite team in the afternoon. We also have Thanksgiving. The tradition now is we're gearing up for that famous holiday tradition of conspicuous consumption. We have Black Friday, we have Cyber Monday, and we actually now, as you know, have shopping on Thanksgiving Day. So it's become commercialized. Well, to some degree, we all do all of some of these things. And it's all good, you know, with the exception of burning your porch up. It's okay. But there's so much more to the holiday than what we normally think of the Thanksgiving holiday. So let's take some time to reflect upon thankfulness and not waste the holiday by forgetting why we actually celebrate Thanksgiving. So let's talk a little bit about thankfulness. You know, why be thankful? Thankful for what? Thankful to who? Now, you know, that may seem obvious, and it probably does to me, but I think people are thankful to different people about different things. And I think as Christians, we probably should have a deeper meaning of Thanksgiving and what thankfulness truly is. So, first of all, as Christians, I think we should know who to thank. We know that we thank our God in heaven. Yes, we thank our family and friends and those around us for the blessings of this world, but ultimately, we give glory to God and thank God. Now, there is a quote from Anonymous, and it goes like this about our secular humanist friends. It says, "A bad moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and has no one to thank." So we as Christians should certainly know whom to thank, our family, our friends, but ultimately we thank the Lord for his blessings on this day. And our thankfulness should permeate everything that we do all year long, especially on this holiday. Colossians 3:15 puts it this way, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful." So be thankful in the good and thankful in the bad. Helen Keller once said, "So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have." And certainly Helen Keller knew something about thankfulness and adversity. Yet she remained thankful even in her state. The other thing is that thankfulness is God's due. We owe God thankfulness. We are commanded by the Holy Scriptures to be thankful and grateful. Another anonymous quote says, "Gratitude is the offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it." And the scripture puts it this way, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. That's Psalms 95. Now, so we owe him our debt of gratitude. Our thankfulness is due to the Lord. Well, we also know there are benefits of being thankful, because thankfulness can ease stress. Because gratitude is a fierce weapon against the enemy who wants to destroy us. He wants us to give in, give up, and sink into hopelessness. The Bible says to do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So a practical cure for some of our stressful everyday life is to be thankful. And this holiday, if we're thankful, it should help us be at peace and less nervous and anxious about the things that bother us, the everyday stresses in life. Now, thankfulness, interestingly enough, also leads to witnessing. That's a biblical concept. If you're thankful, it's natural to witness to your fellow men. Psalms 91 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all of your wondrous deeds. So when we're thankful and truly have a thankful heart, we can't help but share that with those around us. Now, I've been reading Ministry of Healing lately, and I must say I have been neglectful of this book. And I've been told frequently to read the last four chapters of Ministry of Healing, and I've heard that many times over. So I finally didn't have Ministry of Healings in my little book collection, so I read them off the internet, and I said, I got to get this book. So I ended up getting one from my mother-in-law, and I've marked it up, and I've read most of it now. I'm still getting through it. But it was written for physicians and written for nurses. And it's all about God's plan for us to be healthy and healing from the ills of this world. And so I'm reading, I happen to be reading right today, in the chapter on mind cure and the section about thankfulness. So I've cobbled together some quotes. So this is a compilation of quotes I'd like to read to you from Ellen White from Ministry of Healing. And it says, nothing tends to promote health of the body and for the soul than does a spirit of gratitude and praise. No tongue can express, no finite mind can conceive the blessings that result from appreciating the goodness and the love of God. So let's educate our hearts and lips to speak the praise of God for his matchless love. When you open your eyes in the morning, thank God that he has kept you through the night. Thank him for his peace in your heart. Morning, noon, and night, let gratitude as a sweet perfume ascend to heaven. So that's a little bit about thankfulness. And when I've studied up on this, these sort of concepts, it made me appreciate Thanksgiving more as I kind of delved a little deeper into the holiday. So I hope that helped you sort of take apart, examine those aspects of Thanksgiving and have more understanding for how you might approach Thanksgiving. I'll leave it up to you to figure out how that works for you. So let's move on to what are we thankful for? As I mentioned, I've got about 10 things here. You might just hold on. It won't be that big of a deal. We'll get through 10 things pretty quick. But your list may be different. But I think this encompasses most of the things that I think we're thankful for. I could have added a lot more. You could have added tons of things that you're thankful for. But you had to draw the line somewhere. So we'll take a stab at it. This will probably just be a start. Well, number one, I'm thankful that God is our creator and source of all things. So we're thankful that God is our creator and source of all things. For everything created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy 4:4. So thankfulness that God is our creator and the source of all good things. Number two, we're thankful that God is a God of forgiveness. Now, we studied that in Nehemiah a few weeks ago, how God is a God of forgiveness. And God does not give up on us. He's still leading. He's still teaching. He's still talking to us in our hearts and through His scriptures. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever." He's a God of second chances. He's a God of third chances. And He's a God of a lot more chances, thankfully, in my life than just second and third chances. So God is a God of forgiveness. He doesn't give up on us, even if we get discouraged. I'm thankful, and we're thankful as a body in Brookings, we're thankful that God has given us the gift of salvation. He has prepared a way out of this mess that we call life. He says to us, "You're dying, let me save you," and He's prepared a way out. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So we're thankful for this gift from God for salvation. Number four, I'm thankful that we can pray directly to God and that He hears us and He answers our prayers in His way, in His own time. Paul puts it this way in Thessalonians. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." So I'm thankful that we can pray to God. He hears us. He answers our prayers. Maybe not the way we want them answered. And thank goodness we don't get them always the way we want them answered. But He knows what's good for us and what's best for us. Well, I'm also thankful for God's church. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the church in Brookings. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful for the pastor, our teachers, our leaders. And that can go on to the world church also. We're thankful that God has a church, and we're thankful that we have members binding together, and that we're accepted, and that we're loved, that we can grow within this church spiritually and not stumble and be rejected, but grow within the church. Because a lot of us have been here a long time, and you know, I look back sometimes, many, many years ago. I've been here 3 decades now, and some of you know me, and you know, I'd like to not remember some of the things that happened in the past. But you all have allowed me to grow, and I think other people may feel the same way. We're able to grow in this church, grow in Christ with the support of each other. So I am thankful for God's church with His people and the members that are here and worldwide. I'm also thankful for the opportunity to serve God, both in the church and in the community. Because you know, we are God's hands and feet in our little community here. 2 Corinthians puts it this way. It says, "Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will be joyfully expressing their thanks to God." So I picked out of this, I underlined the ministry of giving. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but Paul talks about the ministry of giving. So if you're looking for a ministry, that might work for you, because God has given us, some of us, the ministry of giving. In this case, he's talking about money. So some of us have some to give, and we should give generously, as we were commanded during the celebration earlier in the Harvest Festival. So we have an opportunity to serve with our talents in this church, in the community. I'm thankful for family. I'm sure that's one of the things that commonly comes up when we talk about Thanksgiving. We're thankful for family. As we're sitting around the family dinner, we're happy that we have loved ones and friends, especially family present. The Bible says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior are our children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." So the psalmist is praising the fact that we have children, and blessed is the man and woman that have children in their youth. That's Psalms 127. I'm also grateful that I woke up on the green side of the grass this morning. I'm thankful for my health. Now, you know, our health isn't perfect, some of us. Some of us are still young. A lot of us are getting long on the tooth. And we should be thankful for the health that we have. It may not be perfect, but we should be thankful that God woke us up, like in Ministry Helios City, woke us up that morning. We should be praising the Lord. I'm thankful for my health. Now, Jesus knew something and told us something about people who had ill health and who were thankful, because he relates the story in Luke 5:24. Luke does. He talks about the paralyzed man who was healed. And it says here in Luke 5, it says, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." And immediately the man stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Now, this man was healed, and certainly we praise God through the healing. I think a lot of us have experienced deliverance from health problems and healing, but we should praise God in all things, even though we haven't maybe had all of our infirmities healed. We should be praising God like the paralyzed man did. Now, I'm also number 10. The last one is, it's obvious, I'm thankful that we live in America. We have freedoms that we take for granted often. And yes, I'm thankful also for the material comforts that I possess and we possess. This stuff comes along sort of naturally when you're born in North America, because many of us are well off. Even if you're not well off, you're still well off compared to the rest of the world. The Bible puts it this way. Corinthians 9, it says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So we have material blessings on earth so we can give. We talked about the ministry of giving, so we should give of our material blessings. But I am thankful for the freedoms and the blessings that we enjoy in North America. So what else are you thankful for? I'm sure you have things in your mind that I've left out. Maybe you're a splitter or a lumper, and you can come up with a lot more numbers. But we sort of do the line at 10. Seems like a nice number. So are we thankful people? I guess that's a question I'll ask myself, and maybe you should ask yourself, are we thankful people? Well, the story is told of a man who had a habit of criticizing his wife's cooking. And then as the family sat around the table, he would immediately bless the food and thank the Lord for the food. Well, one day after hearing once again this sort of contradictory criticism and then blessing and thanking, the little girl asked the father, she says, "Daddy, does God hear us when we pray?" "Well, of course," he replied, "He hears us every time that we pray." Well, she paused, thought for a moment, and she says, "Does God hear everything that we say?" And Dad said, "Sure, He hears every word that we say." About that time, the father was feeling pretty proud of himself. He was happy that his daughter was thinking of spiritual things and that he, through his influence, had influenced her to think of spiritual things about God and what God's listening to. But his pride was quickly turned to humility as his daughter recalled the father's grumbling and then thanking. She asked him the question, "Then what does God believe?" So what does God believe? Are we a thankful people, or does our grumbling sort of overtake our thankfulness? Are we known as thankful people? Now, I don't think anybody here is known as a grumbler, but from time to time, I've been known to grumble, and I need to repent of that. Maybe some time to time, you've all grumbled and need to repent of that. But what are we known for? Are we known for being joyful people? Are we known for grumbling? Can people tell that we're thankful to God for all things He's done for us? Well, let's pray that He does. And you know, at this Thanksgiving time, let's be sure we put the thank back into Thanksgiving, back into the Thanksgiving holiday. But let's not just be thankful for the holiday season and on Thanksgiving, but let's practice Thanksgiving all year long.
Please stand. Our closing hymn is number 557, Come Ye Thankful People.
Us as we leave, may we go into the community thankful, praising you with gratitude. May people see it on our faces and in our lives. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, be with us, be with our families in all our travels. Bring us back here next week to praise you again, to worship you again in this place. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.